to have you here tonight as we start a new sermon series. How many people remember the kids' nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty? Right? Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. That's because Humpty was a broken egg, right? I mean, it's an egg. You can't put an egg together again. But you know, that rhyme has some truth for us as human beings. Because the truth is, Humpty's experience is the experience of the human race. We've all had a great fall, and none of us are able to totally put ourselves together again. But here's the good news. There is a king who can put us together again. And we read about this king and his work in the four Gospels in the New Testament. The Gospels tell us that King Jesus came to repair and restore and recreate and reconcile and heal every dimension of human experience. Jesus is all about putting things together again. And in Matthew chapters 8 and 9, there are 10 examples of King Jesus entering into people's lives and putting things back together again. And over the next several weeks, we are going to look at 7 of those stories. The first of the stories is the first story in Matthew 8. It involves a leper. Let me read it to you. It's 4 verses. Matthew 8, verse 1 says this. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said, see that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. As Jesus came down from the mountain, Jesus had been up on the mountain teaching the Sermon on the Mount, a great piece of Jesus' teaching about how to live a kingdom life. As Jesus came down from that mountain, as a large crowd followed him, Jesus encountered a leper. Matthew 8, 2. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him. We don't know anything about this man's background, this man's family, or his social life. The only thing we know about him is he's a leper, and he's a leper in the advanced stages of the disease. And we know that because in the Gospel of Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke, was also a physician. And he described the same man as being full of leprosy, meaning he was in the advanced stages of the disease. Now, just hearing that word leper or leprosy back then would have sent people just cringing and running for cover. Of all the diseases in the ancient world, leprosy was the most feared. It was a truly terrible disease. It usually began with the loss of sensation in some part of your body. And then nodules would start to form and ulcerate and become all full of pus. And then slowly the sufferer would become a mass of these ulcerated, pussy growths. Doesn't that sound disgusting? And then what would happen as the disease progressed is your fingers and your toes would start to fall off. And it was thought to be a contagious disease. And it was of enough of a concern that the Bible prescribed stringent regulations in order to control its spread. And we actually find these regulations in the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus in chapters 13 and 14. It talks about how you were to treat a leper. If a person suspected they might have leprosy, they were to go to the priest who would examine their skin. Let me be clear, as your pastor, I don't want to look at your skin, okay? No desire, don't want to see it, don't care about your pussy nodules, don't want to see any of that. But back then, if you thought you had leprosy, you would go to the priest, and the priest, if he thought you had leprosy, he would declare you unclean. And that label would absolutely change your life. When you were declared unclean, at that point, you had to start wearing torn clothes. You would shave your head. You would walk around with a cloth over your mouth so you wouldn't spread the disease. You had to stay at least 2 meters away from any other person. And if a person was approaching you or you were approaching a person, you would have to call out, "Unclean! Unclean!" In that day, a person with leprosy was considered a walking corpse. They were thought to be under a divine curse. They were totally ostracized and shunned and rejected. They were completely estranged from society, from all their relationships. If you were a leper, rejection and isolation became a way of life. You could have no contact with your family or your close friends. You were barred from social contact. You were banned from public worship at the temple. You can see why this disease was so feared. It wasn't just a physical disease. It destroyed you relationally, socially, emotionally. I'm sure it affected your mind. And you don't have leprosy tonight. If you do, we'd like to know, but you don't have leprosy tonight. But maybe in life you've experienced being shunned or ostracized or rejected. Maybe you've been shunned by family members for one reason or another. Or maybe you've been rejected by people who you thought were your friends. Maybe you've experienced the hurt of and the rejection of being bullied or shunned at school. Maybe you've experienced the pain of a broken love relationship. Or maybe deep inside, you feel unclean. Not because of anything you've done, but because of what's been done to you by others. You know, the leper, he didn't do anything to become unclean. He contracted a disease. It wasn't his fault. Maybe you're here and you feel unclean because of what others have done to you. If you've had an experience like one of the ones I just mentioned, then you get at least in part a sense of what this leper was going through. He felt cursed, rejected, shunned, ostracized, unclean. He felt less than human. Now, somehow, this leper had heard about Jesus and that Jesus, the rabbi, was going around and healing people. And you can imagine, if you were that leper, that was a ray of hope for you. If you could get in front of Jesus, then maybe Jesus would heal you like he has healed other people. If you could just get to Jesus, there might be some hope. And it says, in verse 2, a man with leprosy came and knelt before him. The leper knew he was taking a huge risk, but he had to get through the crowd. He had to get to Jesus. And so here's this leper. He's pushing his way through the crowd, and he gets in front of Jesus, and he kneels before him. Imagine you're in that crowd. Imagine you're one of the large crowd that were following Jesus. Imagine your response. You're shocked. You're angry. You're thinking, what is this leper doing? He just barged in. He didn't say he was unclean. He just barged through us all. He knelt before Jesus. He's not supposed to be that close to our rabbi. He's unclean. He's going to make all of us unclean. What on earth is he thinking? Doesn't he know the rules? He's breaking the rules. There would have been a strong sense of anger and rejection in that crowd, and the leper would have felt it. But nevertheless, he didn't care. He was determined. Jesus was his only hope. And so he knelt before Jesus, and he said this. Notice what he said. He said, "Lord, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." A couple of thoughts about that statement. First, notice what he was asking for. He didn't say, "Lord, you can heal me." He said, "Lord, you can make me clean." He'd been labeled unclean. And he says, "Jesus, I know you can make me clean." He wasn't just asking for physical healing. He was asked He was asking to be made clean. Can you imagine what it would mean for that man to go from unclean to clean? Not only would he be healed physically, he'd be healed emotionally, he'd be healed relationally, he'd be healed socially. He'd no longer be isolated or ostracized. He'd no longer be rejected. He could be a husband, a father, a friend again. He'd be able to socialize and worship with others again. Second, you notice this man wasn't questioning whether or not Jesus could heal him. The leper didn't doubt Jesus' ability to heal. For him, the question was, did Jesus desire to heal him? Notice what he says. He says, if you are willing. Here's this man. He knelt down before Jesus, kneeling before a rabbi, acknowledging this rabbi as someone special, that this rabbi is Lord or King. And then he says, if you are willing. Those are the words of someone who recognized that they were kneeling before a king. And no one tells a king what to do. The leper had confidence in Jesus' power. He also had reverence for Jesus' will. And so picture it. Here's this leper. He's kneeling before Jesus. The crowd is backing away. They're angry. They're frustrated. He can just sense the anger and rejection from this crowd. This man has broken the rules, and all eyes are on Jesus. How is Jesus going to respond? Jesus was known as a teacher. Jesus was known as a rabbi. Jesus should respond according to the Old Testament rules that this man has broken. Jesus should rebuke this man. Jesus should reject this man. Jesus should send this man away. He should protect the crowd. He should ostracize this man. That's what Jesus should do. But do you notice what Jesus did? Verse 3. He reached out his hand and what? He touched the man. Jesus didn't rebuke him. Jesus didn't reject him. Jesus didn't tell him to go away. Rather, Jesus touched the man that everyone else wanted to reject. In Mark's account of the same story, it says Jesus was moved with compassion. And that word compassion there in Greek, in which the New Testament was originally written, means to have a gut feeling that moves you to action. Have you ever felt that kind of compassion? You see something and it's a compassion that just wells up in your gut and it moves you to action. Jesus looked at this leper in the advanced stages of the disease and he felt compassion. And that compassion moved him to action and he reached out his hand and he touched the diseased man. And in doing that, Jesus was breaking the rules. Jesus was doing the unexpected. Jesus was doing something that would have made the crowd even angrier. He was touching an unclean man. He touched the person whom everyone, including his disciples, had deemed untouchable. Imagine the thoughts of the crowd. He just touched him. The teacher just touched him. He can't do that. He's breaking the rules. He just touched an unclean man. What's he doing? You see, most of the people, including probably many of us, would have healed the man first and then touched him. But not Jesus. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man first. Let that picture in your mind settle. Let that picture of Jesus touching that unclean man fill your mind. What do you think the leper felt in that moment? Can you imagine the shock? He touched me. You can't touch me. Nobody touches me. I'm unclean. I can't remember the last time someone touched me, but he touched me. Imagine the extraordinary sense of love and acceptance that was conveyed in that touch. Imagine the extraordinary sense of love and acceptance that was conveyed in that touch. You see, that's Jesus. Jesus loves and accepts people as they are, where they are. Do you believe that Jesus accepts you as you are, where you are? Do you believe that? I think some of you think if Jesus was here tonight, he would rebuke you or he would reject you. But that's wrong. If Jesus was here tonight, he would reach out his hand and he would touch you. And it would be the touch of love and the touch of acceptance. And then look what happens. Jesus said, I am willing. Immediately. And I looked in the Greek, and you know what that word immediately means? Immediately. Immediately, he was cleansed of his leprosy. Imagine that. Again, you're in the crowd, and you're watching this. Jesus reaches out his hand. He touches this sick man, and then he says, I am willing, be clean. And immediately, not in a second, not immediately, all those ulcerated, pussy, sore things are gone. The fingers and the toes are back where they belong. Immediately, this human being is transformed into health. And Jesus not only healed this man physically, he also healed the social dimension of this man's brokenness. Not only was this man's body restored, but his relationships would be restored. His social standing would be restored. He would no longer be an outcast. He could worship in the temple again. Do you see what's happening here? Do you see it? In that moment, Jesus created a new future for that man. I believe Jesus likes to create new futures. Do you believe Jesus could create a new future for you? Do you think Jesus could create a new future for you? And notice, do you notice this? Jesus didn't pray. He just spoke. Two words, be clean. Two words, and the man was clean. Now again, imagine you're in the crowd. One moment you're kind of ticked at Jesus because he's reached out and broken the rules and touched this man. And the next moment you're having a mic drop. You're like, whoa! What just happened? Who is this guy who speaks two words and the disease that we're all afraid of is healed? Who is this man? Where does he get his authority from? The Talmud said back then, cleansing a leper is akin to raising the dead. The people would have just had their jaws drop. They would have said, what is going on? Who is he? Where does he get his authority from? Listen, as we move through Matthew 8 and 9 together, we're going to see that Jesus has the authority over all the forces that threaten to shatter us. Over sin, over disease, over oppression, over the demonic, over the storms of life. Yes, even over death. And when it came to the leper, Jesus had the authority and Jesus was willing. And because of that, a leper was healed. Do we think Jesus could do that today? Do we believe that Jesus is able to heal today? You see, it's not enough to believe that Jesus healed a leper 2,000 plus years ago. That's a cool story, but it's not enough just to believe that. We need to believe that Jesus can do it now in the present. We need to believe that Jesus is alive and present and active and willing to work in our midst because he is. We need to believe that today Jesus is longing to bring heaven to earth. Listen, if Jesus was willing to heal the leper, and Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever, and that's what the Bible says, then Jesus is still healing today. Do we believe that, church? Do we believe Jesus can heal today? Okay, four of us, it's pretty good. Okay, I'll hold the faith for the rest of you doubters. because I believe Jesus can heal today. I believe Jesus can heal physically, emotionally. He can heal from mental diseases. He can heal relational. Jesus can heal today because he's the same yesterday and today and forever. In verse 4, it says this. Verse 4, he says this, and Jesus said, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift to Moses commanded, the gift Moses commanded, as a testimony to them." Now, that's kind of weird. Jesus just healed this guy, and he says, "Oh, by the way, don't tell anybody, go to the temple first." What? What's that all about? Well, a couple of things. First, Jesus wanted the man to follow the Old Testament requirements. And a recovered or a healed leper needed to go to the temple priest to have him examine him. And if the priest could certify that he was healed, then he'd be ritually clean, which means he would have a restored social standing. He could have restored relationships. He could have restored worship in the temple. So part of the healing process was for this man to go to the temple. Secondly, Jesus wanted the man to go to the priest. Did you notice it? As a testimony to them. The man's miraculous healing from leprosy would have been an indication to the religious leaders that the Messiah was present amongst them. And I want to tell you that the Messiah is present amongst us. He is alive today just like he was alive 2,000 plus years ago. And that's why when we say Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. They may not have been able to put Humpty together again, but we have a king who can put us together again. Every one of us is broken in one way or another. But we have a king who is alive and likes to put things together again. Let me close tonight with some questions. What is it in your life right now that makes you want to cry out to Jesus? Is it a disease? Is it a relationship? Is it a problem? What in your life right now makes you want to cry out to Jesus? Where in your life do you need to experience the life-giving touch of Jesus? I'm not sure what that touch will look like in your life, but here's what I'm certain about. Jesus desires to touch your life. How do I know that? I know that because in the Gospels, Jesus never rejected people who came to him in and with their brokenness. What brokenness, what pain do you need to bring to Jesus today? Let's take that phrase that Jesus said, "I am willing," and turn it around and make it a question for us. Are we willing to bring our brokenness to Jesus? Are you done hiding? Is it time for your healing? Is it time for you to allow Jesus to start to put things back together again in your life? Listen, are you willing like the leper to not care what people think, but to get in front of Jesus and allow him to do a work in your life? Are you willing to kneel before him and acknowledge that he's the king? Are you willing to let him touch your life? Are you willing to let him put you back together again? Jesus healed the leper. Jesus restored him. He gave him a new future. And I'm saying, if then, why not now? You see, I believe Jesus is alive. Jesus is working in this room. Right now, the Spirit is working in some of your lives. And right now, the Spirit is working in your life for some of you and is telling you where you're broken, is telling you what you need to bring before Jesus. You may already know it, but the Spirit for some of you is working in your life right now. And Jesus is saying through his Spirit, just like I healed the leper, I want to heal you. I want to restore you. I want to give you a new future. And we believe God can do it again. We believe in a God who can heal, a God who can restore, a God who can transform, a God who can create new futures. And I want to say to you tonight, if the Spirit of God is moving on you, if the Spirit of God is identifying areas of brokenness that you need to bring before Jesus, I want to encourage you to come up to the front at the end of the service and get someone to pray for you. Because Jesus wants to put you back together again. Are you willing to let Him do it? Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the leper who came before You and knelt. And thank You that You are willing to touch him. And there are people here tonight, God, that need Your touch. Deep in their souls. Maybe deep in their bodies. Maybe deep in their spirits. But there are people tonight who right now, Your Spirit is working in this room and is identifying areas of brokenness that they need to bring to You. God, I pray that we would have the attitude that the leper had, that we don't care what people think. We care about getting in front of You. We care about kneeling in front of You and letting You put us back together again. So God, I pray that You would do something great even tonight, that there would be an outbreak of You in this place, restoring and healing and transforming and giving new futures to people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And we believe that, and we know that our God, our King, is alive and active today. And so we want to offer up that space of healing this evening. And then if you are just needing for us to pray with you, and again, whether that's physical, emotional, relational, whatever kind of healing it is that you need, we would love to pray for you here at the front. And as Steve said all morning, we want you to come, because sometimes we do need to take that step and just say, you know what, God, yeah, we lay this at your feet. And so that's what we're asking. Just simply come and lay it at his feet and receive that prayer. So let's pray together as a community, and then we will go. Father God, we thank you that you are alive, that you are real, that you, God, you love us so much. You give us so much grace. And Father, I just pray and ask that if there are those of us that need to come and receive healing, that God, we will be obedient to that and come forward and just simply lay it at your feet. God, be with us this week as we go then and we express that love to those around us as we live 6-8 in the world around us, and that, God, as we are lights in the dark places, that, Father, you would be with us. God, we pray for a fresh outpouring of your Spirit over this community, God, that as we go, that we would be going knowing that you are our strength, that, God, you are guiding, and we would walk humbly with you and your love. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. So again, come forward. Young adults, you guys are heading off to Montana's to enjoy some time together. We love you. See you next week.